Welcome to the Brave Parenting Podcast, an examination of the Bible and how parents can apply God's word to raising kids in a culture saturated with media and technology. Hello, I'm Kelly Newcomb, founder of Brave Parenting. Thank you so much for listening today. I know there are a ton of podcasts out there that you could choose from to listen to, and I'm honored that you have taken the time to listen and equip yourself to bravely parent amidst the onslaught of media, especially video games, against our kids. And that's what we're going to be talking about today, specifically apps that are games. We're going to be reviewing the Apple's App Store top games for 2024. So every year they provide a list of the most downloaded apps for the year. And each of these lists, I think it grants us some insight into the culture and how children and adults are spending their time on devices. Now, there are two lists of top games. One is the top free gaming apps, and the other is the top Apple Arcade games. Now, if you don't know, arcade games, for Apple at least, they require a subscription of $6.99 a month. But with that subscription to the Apple Arcade, you get 200 plus games, and those games have no in-app purchases and no ads. Now, no in-app purchases and no ads probably sounds fantastic compared to the garbage that we all know that comes along with the free gaming apps. And I think this is certainly a good option for some people. Not all games that are available for free are also available on arcade, though, so you can't just get that subscription and assume that your kid's favorite game is going to be available through the arcade. But I think if you are a parent who maybe does allow some iPad or iPhone games, say, for example, I think a good reason why you might allow this is when you're going on a long road trip or you're going on a long plane trip, and you want to ensure that the games that your kids are playing during that long period of time that you do need them kind of engaged and maybe entertained, that those apps are free of ads and in-app purchases. Well, the arcade subscription is a good way to ensure that. And they even give you a month free trial. So if you are planning a trip in the upcoming future and you are going to be allowing some game time, that is a good feature. But the Apple Arcade aside, what we're going to talk about is the free gaming apps that were popular in 2024. And more than just discussing what they were, I want to show you what you or your child can be doing, and frankly, should be doing, instead of playing these screen-based, algorithmic-driven, and ad-riddled games. Just because they are available and because they exist does not mean that we have to allow our kids to play them. Doesn't mean that we as adults should be spending our free time playing them. So there are lots of alternatives to these games that are very similar, whether they be board games or physical, real life, or make-believe play games that I want to bring to your attention. I think that we have to always go back to this principle of prudence. Right? Just because you can do something doesn't mean that we have to or that we should. Just because these digital and virtual game options are available does not mean that we have to use this, that we have to give it to our child because that's just the new and shiny thing that's available. Some of these old school kind of play board-like games are great options. And frankly, build better character and establish better value in our children when they play these alternatives than when they play these apps. All right, so you can check out this list. If you have an Apple phone, you go to the App Store and you tap on apps, you can see the top apps for 2024. I'm going to go through the top 10. We're going to start at number 10. We can describe the app a little bit, and I'm going to give you a great alternative to this popular gaming app. Number 10 on the list is a game called My Perfect Hotel. First of all, this game is rated 17 plus. Now, for Apple, that means in order for it to get that rating, it has frequent intense and mature suggestive themes, which may include sexual content, nudity, alcohol, tobacco, and drugs. So, needless to say, this game should not be downloaded on a kid's phone or tablet. But this game is popular, and essentially you are establishing your own hotel, you're meeting the needs of customers, you're sort of growing a hotel empire, if you will. And so you can kind of see like how maybe some 17 plus content could get mingled in there. But because it's so popular, let's consider what an alternative game would be for kids. Well, kids could play Hotel using their creativity and items already in the home, right? They could make signs designating the family room to be the hotel lobby, the bathroom to be the hotel spa, or the dining room, right, to be the hotel restaurant. And then you and your kids and maybe their friends, you can take turns being the guest or the hotel manager or housekeeping, right? Y'all, what a great way to get your kids practicing making a pristine bed than someone playing housekeeper and someone playing guest and they're critiquing their work, right? Kids love to play this make-believe. And if they don't know how, you can help them and engage them. If they've ever stayed at a hotel, then they kind of have the idea of what this may be. And I think it's really fun for them. I remember my kids playing a restaurant. They would watch and observe what would happen at a restaurant, and then they would come home and they wouldn't do that same type of thing. I actually, sadly, think I remember them playing Starbucks as well. So maybe that's to my own discredit that I brought them to Starbucks enough that they wanted to play that at home. But nonetheless, this type of make-believe play is really good and healthy, constructive for them. And I'll also throw in this. Now, I don't normally recommend movies, but since we're talking about hotels, I'm going to tell you that one of my favorite family movies that we would watch as my kids grew up, we watched it so many times, I think I can still quote half of the movie, and that is Bedtime Stories with Adam Sandler. It is a fun, especially like elementary age type movie, and it's based on hotels. He lives in a hotel, and they're trying to build this hotel empire, and it has a great happy ending, even though the story is about life not having happy endings. So anyway, I don't normally give that movie recommendation, but I'm going to give that. If your kids don't know a lot about hotels and you want to sort of expose that, and especially if they want to play a game like this, this is a great alternative. Okay, number 9, very popular game. You've likely heard of it. It's been popular for quite a while, and that is Subway Surfers. Now, this game is rated 9+, which for Apple classifies it as infrequent, mild cartoon, or fantasy violence. When we consider what Subway Surfers is, which is like running across subways, being chased, and we compare that to the lack of physical activity and the sedentary lifestyle that is gaming and watching YouTube, how sedentary kids are becoming because of these activities that are growing in popularity, it's pretty evident that something has to change. So if your child wants to play Subway Surfers, why not set up an obstacle course in your yard, right? Set up a course where kids have to maybe run through obstacles, maybe dodge incoming pool noodles, jump over cones. You could even time the kids to see if they can improve their time as they enhance their skills getting through the obstacle course. I think you could even bring out a bag of pennies and reward them with coins as they level up, right? You can take this sort of culture of video games and take it into real life and show them that in physical activity and all of these different ways of engaging the creative mind to build this obstacle course can be more fun than just sitting sedentary and playing a type of game where you're earning coins by just moving your fingers. And I guarantee this type of activity will create more lasting memories than a single moment sitting inside being numbed by an iPad game, right? They're gonna have so much more fun memories creating an obstacle course like that. Okay, the number 8 most popular gaming app is Brawl Stars. This game is also rated 9+. It's described as a fast-paced 3v3 or 5v5 MOBA, which is called a multiplayer online battle arena and battle royale. Now, the App Store says that you can play online with friends or solo across a variety of P versus P arena game modes for under 3 minutes. Okay, for those unfamiliar with all of that sort of acronym and all of that, what that means, basically, this game is very similar, and it's made by the same people, of Clash of Clans. It's made to be super addictive and to get the user to sort of spend money on useless skins and gems inside the game in order to win, but to look good while you win. And when I think of these types of games playing out in real life, I can't help but think of the games that our high school church youth retreats that we play there, or even we play them on Wednesday nights during student ministry as well. Games like Capture the Flag, Tiger Ball, Crab Soccer, Spud. These are all these ones that you sort of play maybe until the last person standing, or you play as a team against team, which if you didn't know, that's sort of the general idea behind Battle Royale. It's like last team standing or last person standing. And these type of games, that's what I think of, is it's real life, what you play and what you do at church camp. I don't know many Christian camps or retreats that don't play these type of outdoor, active, engaging, and entertaining physical play games like this. So if you want a replacement for Brawl Stars, because I definitely don't think this game or this app is appropriate at all, super addictive, I would not recommend it at all, just bring your kids to youth ministry. Let them play these type of games in real life. I think that is a great alternative. And number 7 is Royal Match. Now, this game is rated 12+, and the app is described as, quote, "King Robert needs your help to restore Royal Castle's former glory. Break the obstacles and combine amazing power-ups to beat joyful and challenging levels. Keep unlocking wonderful areas by playing fun match 3 levels. Come along now and join the fun. Once you play, you will come for Royal Match every day." Wow, they even rhymed. I don't think I realized that as I wrote it out. Here's the deal. If your child wants to play some bright and flashy game, get out Candyland. Play some Candyland. It's just as bright and obnoxious as this Royal Match game is. There is, frankly, no reason why I would ever allow this game, because it is really this like bright, flashy, sort of ADD-inducing type of game, and you're just solving puzzles. So if your child wants to solve puzzles like they would in a game like this, well, you could actually give them a puzzle. You could give them a crossword or a word find type of book. You could teach them how to play Sudoku. And you remember those magazines, the highlights magazines from our childhood, where you had to sort of solve puzzles and like find hidden items and those pictures, right? That would be an excellent alternative to this game, is engaging the mind to solve a riddle or to solve a problem, much healthier than this game. And coming in at number 6 is Last War Survival, another app rated 17+ here. The tagline is "Dodge, defend, defeat zombies." Essentially, you're a survivor of a zombie infestation, and your primary goal is to retain your humanity and survive. I think you could also make a game that sounds like you're the last kid in your grade without a phone, and your primary goal is to retain your godly character and survive middle school. Probably very similar. When you think about this type of game, it really just translates well into a good old game of tag, right? And you can have the kids play zombie tag, you know, where someone's the original zombie and everybody they get to tag becomes a zombie. And then essentially it's one team all trying to tag the other survivors, right? Easy, done. Nothing R-rated or 17+, nothing you're going to spend money on. A good old game of physical tag where somebody's a zombie. That sounds awesome. Much more awesome than getting trapped into a 17+ game of survival. All right, number 5 on the list is Township. Okay, this one, friends, is rated 4+. So far, this is the only app that your elementary age child should even know what it is. This game is about city building and farming. Essentially, players like build their dream town by first you harvest crops and you process them and then you sell them in order to get money to develop your town. Essentially, you're just a businessman. You're creating your own town. You can open restaurants and theaters. You can give character to your town. And so the concept is good. It's business oriented. You have to make decisions. Some decisions may be bad and you face the consequences of those decisions. Very true to real life. But if we don't want to do this type of activity in a video game, well, we can build a town with Legos and building blocks and Lincoln Logs and all those type of toys, right? I think this is a great thing for brothers and sisters to do together. The girl can choose the businesses that she thinks that she would want to run, and the boy could do what he would want to do. And then it allows for collaboration. How can you work together to make this sort of town work? Get your kids thinking outside the box in this regard. And yes, you're going to have to do it with them, engage with them, and get their brains thinking in a different way. Now, if you don't want to do that kind of free play, a great board game that would be a alternative for this is Catan or Settlers of Catan. If you have kids that are around age 10 and up, this game is a must. I think it's won like Game of the Year numerous years in a row. It is far better way to spend an hour than in front of a screen. And I know tons of adults who love Catan. If you're not played Catan as a parent, this is something that you will love to play with your kids. It has a little bit of a learning curve, but once you learn, it is, dare I say, addictive. Not really, but the kids really enjoy it and will want to play often. Okay, moving along, our number 4 top free app, Call of Duty Warzone. Well, no shock, is rated 17+. This is a first-person shooter game with Warzone-style combat and weapons with real graphics. I don't think I have to go on any further to explain that children should not be playing this game at all. Yet, sadly, I do know kids as young as 10 who play the game, whether it be on the Xbox or whether it be on a tablet, and you're playing the mobile version, which if those parents are listening and you've never known that this was maybe not something, I just want to lovingly inform you that this game is not a healthy or beneficial way for your child to develop their mind of thinking critically, or even just loving your neighbor. This type of first-person shooter is very realistic. That's why a lot of people like Call of Duty in that regard. But let's just consider some alternatives. Because we know especially boys like to play this game, Capture the Flag is a great physical alternative than playing a game like this. Also, you know, I think this is why they make Nerf guns. I know some people are very against Nerf guns because they represent real guns and we don't want people to be using real guns for bad purposes. But, you know, boys are created by God to be defenders, to be fighters. And this is often simulated, whether it be in video games, movies, whatever, through battles and war. And it's not really sadistic. It's just embedded into the history of all mankind. Every civilized society became civilized through battles, through war. And it was men who fought those wars to earn freedom. So boys, men, they are created to do this. And so I think a good, healthy way to instill this type of play, but in like I said, in a good way, is Nerf guns. You can battle out in your backyard or in your playroom. I remember my husband doing this with our 4 boys, and frankly, I think several neighborhood boys, all of the time. And not only is it good when the father can engage in a healthy way with this, but remind them that, of course, that it's play, you know, but there's also good character that can be developed. It's about protecting and defending what is good, what is right, what is true. Another alternative of active play, I think if your kids really want to play Call of Duty type thing, take them to go play laser tag somewhere. I know lots of different entertainment type of facilities are kind of popping up in big cities that all have laser tag. So that could be an active way to sort of play this sort of shooting out, if you will. And finally, if you're looking for a board game that maybe is war-based, I highly recommend Risk. Risk obviously has a high learning curve as well. One of my sons would play Risk for hours and hours upon hours with a few of his friends. Really strategic. A lot of deep thinking goes into that. So if you have a kiddo who might be into that, I highly recommend Risk as well. These are, again, better alternatives. Are they the best? Maybe you still may not like the idea of shooting and guns. That's fine. But for sure, these alternatives are better than playing a first-person shooter game, especially at young age, such as Call of Duty. And coming in number three is my least favorite possibly ever game, and that is Roblox. Roblox is the number three top app. If you've listened to the Brave Parenting podcast for any length of time, you know that this is, I think, one of the most dangerous apps. It is so deceptive for kids. It breaks my heart that more than half of the users on Roblox are under the age of 13, and the app is rated 12 plus. The app is very unique in the sense that it's more a portal to, as they say, millions of experiences. People can create their own games inside of the of Roblox. And so it's a very unique type of app, which is why a lot of people like it. But that also is what makes it very dangerous. Here, listen to what the App Store description says. Roblox is the ultimate virtual universe that lets you create, share experiences with friends, and be anything you can imagine. Join millions of people and discover an infinite variety of immersive experiences created by a global community. Now, there are so many concerning words in there. The fact that you're joining millions of people, the fact that this is a global community. Yes, we need community and connection, but we do not, kids especially, do not need that on a global scale. Yes, kids need to share experiences with their friends, but that is best done in their embodied real life experience, not the virtual world. So my recommended alternative to Roblox is frankly any type of free play with friends. Now, I know a lot of parents were sort of wrapped up in this safetyism mode where we just want to keep our kids safe. We're scared of the outside for whatever reason. We're scared of other kids, other families. And I understand that, but it is so important for kids to have free play outside the supervision of their parents. That is what kids need. Jonathan Haidt, in his book, The Anxious Generation, points to this, scientifically points to that this is what helps kids develop resilience in life and learn critical skills to become an adult. They need this free play outside the supervision of parents. Again, we really should be more scared of kids playing and gaining new experiences, if you want to call them that, online on Roblox, than we should be scared of them gaining new experiences in the neighborhood without our supervision. While they may be physically safe inside the home, they are vulnerable emotionally, spiritually, sexually to all the predators and all the bullies and all those people globally who are online preying on young children. So my encouragement, if your child is on Roblox, you want to cut it out, or if they're asking for Roblox and you just don't want to give it really what they need, they're going to ask for what everyone else has, but what they need is real life experiences with friends. And the dangers and harms of real life experience with friends, they're frankly negligible. In fact, I think that the risk that occurs within these real life experiences builds problem solving and resilience. And that is, it's accomplished by facing these minor risks and dangers and harms of being outside of a parent's supervision. You have to solve the problem because your mom or dad isn't there. That is way better of an experience that our kids need. So before we ever give them Roblox, let's give them real life experience. Okay, moving right down the list, number two, Monopoly Go. Y'all, this is so obvious, I don't even have much to say. This app is rated 9+, and it literally has a board game alternative. It's called Monopoly Go, and it's a board game. Now, we all know regular Monopoly, and that, of course, is a great alternative to Monopoly Go. But if they really want this game, you know, hand over the board game. Do not hand over a tablet for your child to play this app. Give them the physical board game, because that is what promotes communication, relationship. You're playing with other people, problem solving. It builds character traits like patience, kindness, and respect while you're playing the game. And you just simply do not get those type of benefits from a virtual game through the app. Okay, and coming down to number one, the number one free app in Apple's App Store in 2024 is Block Blast. Now, this game is, it's kind of like Tetris. It's rated 17+. Frankly, I don't know what type of inappropriate content it could possibly be showing, so I'm not sure where that rating comes from. I haven't actually downloaded and played the game, but I did research it enough that that confused me. A 17+ rating did confuse me. I mean, it's classified as a block puzzle and brain training. Now, the screenshots, if you go to the App Store and you look at this app, the screenshots for the game say, quote, relaxing. And then on the next screen, it says addictive. Okay, for the life of me, I don't know why any parent would read the word addictive and decide, yes, this is something that my child needs in their life. I advise you to immediately disqualify any app that tries to sell you on its addictiveness. That is the last thing any of us should want for us or for our children, right? To be addicted, to be slaves and in chains to something that holds us in bondage to it, right? That is not what we want. But nonetheless, its addictiveness probably explains why it is the number one free app for 2024. Well, here's the great news. There is a board game that is quite similar and actually happens to be one of my absolute favorite board games. It is called Blockus. You can play it with 2 to 4 people. It lasts about 15 minutes. I think it's a great game. It's easy for kids to play. I'm already playing it with my 6-year-old granddaughter. And I think another game that's not really similar in the sense of Tetris, like moving pieces together, but there's another game called Labyrinth. It's kind of like a maze game. That and Blockus, Labyrinth and Blockus, were my go-to after-dinner board games. I played with my kids what feels like almost every night while we were waiting on certain kids to take showers or whatever. We were playing a board game. Another alternative, I haven't played it, but it's fairly popular and it's similar to Blockus, is Quirkle. So these games, they're physical board games. You play with other people. You're building character. You're not alone. You're not isolated. You're not at risk of spending more money. You're not at risk of seeing ads that you don't want to see or be distracted by other notifications or other games. There's just so much benefit to these alternative type of games other than these top free apps. So it's easy, I know, to just tap download and to not think critically and biblically about these apps and what type of mindset and character that they are building in your child. And yes, I know that all of these real life, make-believe, physical play, board game alternatives that I listed, they are going to involve you, right? To some extent, they're going to involve you. They're either going to make a mess of your house or, you know, the kids are going to be muddy and smelly because they've been running around doing obstacle courses outside. Or, you know, it may cost you $20 to buy an actual board game. But when we consider that the embodied life that we are called to live, right? Because we have the option to submerge our minds and hearts in this virtual world, but that doesn't mean that has ever been God's will. He called us to live in physical bodies in relationship with other people. So when we think about how our children will forever need the character and the skills to navigate the real world, we must choose. No matter how tempting and how easy these apps and games are, we must choose the real life embodied experiences to train them up with, because how you train them up as they are raised, that is how they are going to be as an adult. And we don't want to produce adults who are addicted to these type of games. No matter what these gaming apps claim to do as far as build your brain or strengthen your problem solving, they just cannot replace what is learned through experience in reality with others. And yes, yes, there's going to be some risk. There's going to be maybe some scraped knees, some messy houses, some fighting siblings. But all of those are managed risks that we must remember. That's what builds resilience and builds our kids' character. Okay, brave parents, that is what I have for you today. I hope that you found this content valuable. And if you did, I'd ask that you would just share it with a friend so that they might be able to kind of go through these top 10 apps of 2024 and think biblically and think critically about what they may be doing to their kids and what some alternatives are that they can do instead. We would also be so grateful if you would take a minute to rate the podcast, leave us a review. This helps other parents find our podcast. The more parents that we have out there thinking critically and biblically about media and technology, the better it is for all of our kids. So thank you so much for tuning in. Until next week, friends, go and be brave.